Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Oi. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the football podcast, show number 187.
Oh.
Huge.
Murderous.
Massive. Well, I mean, do you know what? That's unbelievably inappropriate from what I was about to start on.
Oh dear.
But anyway,
well, I didn't know
yeah.
What you're gonna
start on. No, it's true. But no, all right, no, because I've got a number. Obviously, 187. As soon as you think 187, you think, and you don't start. It's 18. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Thanks for your rap.
Bit of gangster rap. Yeah. But no. But we'll, no, that's something a bit. We'll get onto that in a minute.
Spit
but
it out.
The leave it out. The show fact for today relates to the number 187.
And
you know how I like to get a little bit left, you know, a little bit left field.
Yeah, you're
little
outside
bit,
of the
little
box.
A little bit different. So number 187 squared is 34,969. And
that's
this was...
No, it's the square root of the number you just gave, isn't it?
No, 187 squared is three... Fucking hell, Franco. If you're going to interrupt, at least interrupt with something that's actually valid. 34,969, which, and this is fact, was Count Von Count from Sesame Street's favourite number.
Did he play for, what team did he play for again, Dan?
Sesame Street 11.
Obviously.
Yeah. He was a star striker on a Sesame Street 11. I mean, I think that is a fair, that is a numbers fact for you.
Why? Sorry. Why is that Count Von Count's favourite number?
I haven't got a
Did
fucking
anyone
clue.
Ask him
no, well, it was Jerry L. Nelson, who was the famous puppeteer behind the Count, who died a couple of years ago.
What himself?
It was his favourite number.
He basically liked murder squared.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, lovely.
Nice one. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, there's a bit wrong with it.
Serial killer.
We'll start off with. Obviously, sending the... Oh, fuck, mate, sorry, hang on. Who's here?
Hello, Tom.
Tom.
Chris.
Andy. Mike's not here. Mrs. Coxon, should I say now.
Yeah.
Who is off on her honeymoon. She's having a lovely time.
We
bowl
wish
account.
Her all the best.
Yeah, she looks...
She gets deflowered shortly.
Mike was a beautiful bride.
He's on a beach now.
He's on a beach in Bali, so I hope he's having a good time.
Yeah, brilliant.
No, Jerome, no Staples.
No, Staples might turn up in a bit, but you never know with him. So, just want to start off by paying our respects and send our condolences to the two Newcastle fans
who died
in the Malaysian Airlines crash. It was John Alder and Liam Sweeney, who this is proper fans as well. They were flying to
New Zealand
to watch their Newcastle
pre-season tour. Were
they
really? Is that
tour.
What they... Yeah. No.
Yeah. I mean, these two were... this is fucking me, that is proper fans.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They... what's been fantastic is that the Sunderland fans have raised $22,000 so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Bloody
to in honour of the two fans. There was Alan Pardew has dedicated the entire season.
Yeah, I saw
this
that,
season
yeah.
to the two fans, and there was their pre-season game a couple of nights ago. They laid a wreath at the stadium and everything like that.
Actually, on this, I've got a link to the plane incident, and that is
well, there's
that.
Quite, hang on, there's quite a few.
Yeah,
links
yeah.
To it, but
the otherwise I'll forget. Well, so the big talked about game in the third round Champions League qualifiers, FC Jimpro against FC Copenhagen. Obviously
apart from Celtic beating Reykjavik.
Yes, congratulations. 4-0.
4-0.
4-0 overall.
Yes.
5 overall.
This qualifier next week. We're waiting on a UEFA decision on the game to be played in Ukraine or not.
Well, this is it. So, what happened last night?
UEFA is apparently insisting on the game being played in Ukraine, but Copenhagen have come out and said. So their spokesman said they can't find an airline that's willing to fly them to Ukraine. No one's willing to fly them there.
So what's happened now is that Shakhtar are going to base themselves in Kiev. And Shakhtar beat Dynamo Kiev 2-0 in the Ukrainian Super Cup last night. The coach Luchesko has revealed that he revealed after the match that the Arena Lviv, which is like 600 miles from Nesk, is where they'll be their temporary home at the moment. And it's really fucked up Shakhtar because there's six players: Douglas Costa, Fred Dentinho, Alex Terreira, all Brazilians, and Ismaili, another Brazilian, plus Argentinian striker Facundo Ferreira have remained in France following the friendly against Lille on Saturday, and they've refused to go back to training.
Yeah, they're not going to go back, are they? Yeah,
go back because of safety. I mean, and this leads into it will all depend on what happens with FC Copenhagen and Dnipro, because there's a good chance that Arsenal will be playing the winners.
Potentially, yeah. Jesus.
So then,
aren't the rules that they're allowed to play at a different ground?
A neutral
country.
Yeah.
As long as it's the same country.
That would be, yeah.
Because Celtic had the same problem, because the Commonwealth was kicked off in Celtic Park. That's why I had to play at Murrayfield last night. Yeah.
Not being funny, but when you're talking about planes being shot down, I mean, you're not going to get a team willing to travel there anyway. Would you get on a plane? I mean, you should say, fuck it, find me whatever wages you want. I'm not flying to Ukraine. If you're a player, member of staff, whether you're kit man, whatever, you think, I ain't getting on a plane going there.
Costa said it, you know, I love the club, I love the fans, you know, but
it's beyond that.
Costa, he's been linked with Arsenal now, isn't he? And Spurs,
He said, but like, I'm sorry, but we need a safe environment to work in.
Yeah.
That's fucking fair enough. You know what I mean? It's
I don't think I'd be going on.
There's more. Yeah, this the whole part of this was, you know, obviously just saying, expressing the sadness of the two fans are terrible, and you know, they said there's goes to show that this obviously there's things bigger than football, but sometimes people forget that. And anyway,
sport helps unite a lot of the time. And actually, what we could actually do with is actually football teams boycotting going to the Ukraine and actually saying, do you know what? No one wants to play there, well, so you're going to have to fucking sort it out.
There's also the suggestion of the Dutch boycotting the Russian World Cup next. They said it was that. I don't know where it came out.
A lot of historical reasons for that,
because of this over.
Quite right, yeah.
I mean, if they carry on invading another country, I don't see why plenty of people shouldn't boycott it.
But at the end of the day, if airlines aren't prepared to fly anyone there anyway, then how are you going to get it to work?
Yeah, this happened with Chelsea, didn't it, about 13, 14 years ago?
Yes,
they didn't go to Israel because it was Maccabi telling someone.
Yeah,
so they didn't have a game there. So, I don't blame them at all. It's mental. So hopefully UEFA will come to some sort of agreement. And like you say, if there is a boycott, which would be great, then they'll have to stand up and listen and do something about it.
Definitely. There was another boycott, so to speak. See the old Man City fuck off. The Man City youth team walked off the pitch last night in a friendly in Croatia after one of their players racially abused.
I was going to say that's got to be racial. Yeah.
If that sort of thing does happen, then what sort of measure do you take? That's probably the best. Well, fuck you, we're not playing you then. You're going to do that, we ain't playing.
You the game.
See you later then.
Especially
then,
when it's your friends.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean anything. It's ridiculous. That is the best course of action. Yeah. And it's the only course of action you can take, really. You can't say anything back. Walk off. If that happens, whole team goes.
Well, we're starting off. We seem to be starting off with sort of all sort of negative stuff at the moment. But I might as well wrap the negative stuff
let's
up
get it
with
out of the way.
PSG, who have been had to close. See, I'm not sure this is. I mean, this is fucking ridiculous for me to be honest, personally. But they've got to do is close two sections of their ground for the next European Champions League match.
It's just one match, isn't it?
For one match, for abusing at the Parc des Princes, for abusing the disabled Chelsea fans. So for abusing disabled Chelsea fans. I think it's fucking ridiculous.
UEFA have been an absolute joke about these sanctions for years. I remember Celtic, Milan, when a stupid fan got on, touched Dida on the face and he rolled around and got stretched off. Celtic got fined something like 10-20,000 euros and suggested they could be banned. Now, it's stupid they should let a player onto the pitch. Fair enough. But then when you go and you hear, what is it, a few years ago, the Spanish national coach being racist, and you get racist chants at these grounds, and they do fuck all about it. Mm. That should be either an immediate expulsion, something that will genuinely financially and footballing-wise hurt the club or country, done about it.
It's a shame that we seem to be talking about this
all the
time.
Too much. Yeah, too
much, mate. Jesus Christ.
It doesn't actually matter.
I was right.
It doesn't really actually matter how many times it happens, does it?
Jesus Christ.
All right, Dan Silver, stick your cock back in your trousers.
Fucking hell, though, that's
good. Come on. A beautiful lady has just walked past for those listening at home.
Anyway, she must work out.
Back to the sock.
She definitely works out.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that no one's prepared to put their neck on the line at UEFA or FIFA and actually properly do something about it, are they? Everyone's
Greg,
scared
Greg Dyke,
of trying.
You see Greg Dyke say that.
Greg Dyke, you know.
Did you see
brilliant.
That?
Bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, that was
said
it was,
called him Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un.
North Korea. Yeah.
I mean, as much as
hello, dictator or something.
It's sort of got a point.
It was quite funny. And yeah, they said that, what they said that the English FA will not bid for
another World Cup
while Blatter's still in charge.
Yeah.
Some of that. But, I mean,
when you think about it, it's ridiculous in the last 50 years that we haven't had another one. I mean, the country's got so many perfect grounds.
It is fucking brilliant.
It's completely set up to run any kind.
And I reckon we're going to show next year with Rugby World Cup
just how good our infrastructure
just
is
and how good we're going to make this tournament. Obviously, did anyone see the
WebEx
trophy outside Canary Wharf today? It was quite nice.
I actually was at the game when it was won last.
Really?
In New Zealand, see them luckily beat France.
Oh, I think you meant I was in Australia when we won it. But you, oh, yeah. Oh, nice,
cool.
So, like, obviously,
that's enough of egg chasing.
Yeah. obviously, this is a bit, me and Chris talking about it the other day. It's a bit of a sort of down period, this little period now, isn't it? There's no real.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's transfer stuff going on. It's a bit of a lull. Major tournament. Yeah, obviously, season starting in a couple of weeks.
And then when you consider 2 days after the final, I'm watching Celtic play Reykjavik and qualify. It's ridiculous. You need a break from football.
Some players are only just coming back to training now.
Yeah.
But so, as it was a bit of a sort of quiet-ish sort of time, I just thought I'd prepare a few little questions that none of you have obviously seen yet. And they're not difficult questions, but just an opinion on the season looking forward.
Okay.
For example, so, in each of your opinions, who has been, would you say, the signing so far? Any league, any team, who has been the signing of the summer so far?
As much as it pains me to say it, I think Fabregas to Chelsea.
Whoa.
That's a great signing for them because he's a fucking quality player, and I hate to say it, but that's
big.
The sort of player they need. What with Lampard obviously leaving, or he's going to leave. You know, they need that sort of role to fill, and I think they've perfectly done that with Fabregas. They've had a couple of good signings actually, with Costa and the other Luis, wherever he is.
I'll go low profile. I'm going to say that Redknapp bringing in Kulker and Ferdinand as a central defence partnership, I think that could potentially be really successful. You know,
agreed.
For QPR's future of selling in the Premier League.
Slight lack of pace.
Well, I don't know.
Kulker's got the quickest.
He's still got it all
right. A little bit of a lack of pace.
But if you compare what they had as centre-backs previously when you're in the Premiership, you think, actually, that is
and
not
experience,
bad.
And experience and youth, the combo. I think it's a very good centre-back pairing for him, I agree.
I'd go for Lallana to be quite honest. I just think he's pure class. Yeah. And then the attacking football at Liverpool that he'll play with him, I think he'll turn to be, player of the season.
I thought it was very harsh from Rodgers, who was quoted a few days ago saying he's still looking to bring in a marquee midfield signing.
I think he's talking about a central midfielder, a midfield general.
I must be thinking. Whoa.
I think he actually said a £30 million midfield marquee signing. I went, have you forgotten about that £24 million you just spent on Lallana?
Lost the receipt for Lallana.
Yeah. I tell you, I haven't lost the receipt. It's fucking PSG and David Luiz.
Oh,
but,
how funny is that?
But anyway.
I'll tell you what, I don't like him, but again, it smacks of how good Mourinho can be when he got rid of him before that World Cup.
Great.
Oh, I mean, a fucking genius.
Almost as if he knew.
And he said it was Fabregas has been said that he was Mourinho, obviously played a huge part in flying out himself to secure the
But also, you'll like this, I think Lloris getting him on that contract.
5-year contract.
Is a great deal. I mean, it's not a signing, really, but I mean, it's still a.
Agreed,
you know,
but Michel Vorm's been
goalkeepers, isn't he?
Yeah.
Him and Neuer, the way they play.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
But
that is the way forward.
There's a lot of noise about why we've signed Michel Vorm today.
I found that really weird.
But I don't think Spurs are a club that can afford. You look at someone, go, oh, look at Real Madrid, look at wherever they've got, you know, two fantastic keepers. Yeah, but we're not in the Champions League. We're not. I don't think we. Why is Vorm going to gone from sitting on the bench every week? What it sort of stinks for me is that unless we get in the Champions League next year, we've Lloris said, right, I'll give you one more season.
So
get
in
the Champions League.
Do you know anything about this?
4-year deal, I think. Vorm is like. So,
he's got,
I mean,
it's a strange one.
Friedel's got a year extension, but it looks like he's going to be more
of a coach.
More of a coach.
Yeah, more of a coach. I tell you the other one though. Whoever signs Mangala, and it looks like he is Premiership bound, he comes with a lot of promise, doesn't he? I mean, if City end up signing him, I'd say that would be one of the signings of the window.
I mean, everyone's been banging on about it as well, but I mean, El Clasico next year. Jesus Christ! I mean, you look at those players that Barca and Madrid have got now.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, the attacking six, let's say, or the six for Real, could line up as James, Alonso, Modric, Benzema, Bale, Ronaldo.
Cruz.
I mean,
yeah.
Oh, Cruz is in there as well.
Yeah, Tony Cruz, mate.
I mean, that is ridiculous, isn't it? That's, I mean, like top cream in a crop.
That really
European
is. And obviously,
football.
You know, Barca with Suarez when he eventually can play
Barca's
again.
Barca's front three, Neymar, Messi, and Suarez.
That's insane.
Fucking
hell.
Does anyone know when the first El Clasico is?
Will no, I haven't looked, actually.
No, I don't think he'll be. I don't think he'll be legit to play for that.
He'll
but
still be in his kennel.
actually, but on. So it's interesting you just brought that up. You know, the players that are playing at Barca and Madrid next season. So, is the Premiership bringing the best players in? We've talked about it before, but
no.
Actually, the best players are going to. They still go to two teams in Spain, and it's an interesting one. So we've seen Suarez leave the Premiership. So
Modric,
who are
Bale,
who are
Fabregas?
But I'm talking about this window. So who are the marquee signings in the Premiership? Right. Because I don't think Diego Costa's the sort of player that, you know, excites me. I don't know. I don't know what people think about
Costa.
I know what you mean. I'm not excited by him joining the
biggest,
Premiership.
The biggest money deals are still going to Spain at the moment. The biggest money deals.
I mean, that is all we had as a nation, wasn't it? At least we've got a great league. So Premiership players, then, you know.
Of the big teams.
Well, it's not
in
about
England.
That, is it? It's about the fact that in Spain it's going to be Real Madrid or Barcelona. I know.
But when you
look at it, it's any like that's what you look at the fixture list in Spain. You look at the fixture list and you look at the Real Madrid Barcelona games. And then other than that, what game in Spain would you really want to watch?
Yeah.
Atletico Madrid, like the Madrid
Possibly,
derby.
But even then, I'm not that bothered
Still
by.
Still rather watch
but,
Stoke Wigan or something.
Yeah, and then well, but then
I was into Ashley Cole's question about. I know it seemed a bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Why aren't English players going abroad?
And he wasn't actually having a proper dig, was he? When you actually read what he was saying, he was actually being quite eloquent with it.
They're going to be skint going abroad, is it? They're going to earn a bloody good wage at any of those top clubs.
Well, he had a little rant, didn't he, Ashley Cole? He sort of said, people are giving me shit for.
He's had a few, though.
Yeah, but he said. Yeah, he's now getting shit for going to Roma for the money or something. When it was like, I could have gone to America. I didn't go to America.
Yeah.
I wanted to keep playing at a high
level.
He's
in the Champions League.
I'm still getting shit. Like, I mean, you deserve it, but.
Yeah.
No, you've got a point.
All right, so that's. I just asked
everyone.
You talked
about Ben Arfa. The signing of the window so far.
Ben Arfa and his
England. Ben Arfa and his.
He's put on the pounds,
isn't he? No, it's all muscle.
He's fucking huge. He's amazing.
Has he done a Thomas Brolin?
Mate, he's absolutely huge. And they've docked his wages and he's kicked off because he said, no, it's all muscle. There's a little photo of him.
They find him.
Little shy photo of him coming out like with a couple of Mars bars in his back pocket at the training ground. And he looks fucking huge. It's hilarious. Yeah, no, they find him, I think.
Yeah,
you
know. Alright, next question, gents. Next question. For individual teams, obviously we all support different teams here. Who's the one player that each of your team needs, do you feel? Not like a specific. It doesn't have to be like a specific player, but like a position
that
would.
Brentford need a striker. Brentford need at least one proper striker in the Championship. At the moment, all of the strikers that are on our books last season aren't there. We brought in a player
from the
conference.
Who scored his first goal last
night? Yeah, Norris. We brought in a player from the conference who scored 20-odd goals, and we've brought in a player from Rochdale, I think. So we need a proven goal scorer in the Championship.
I think, Chris, yours is pretty much the same fucking answer every season, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Fingers come out and said that we don't need another. You know, we've got players that can play up front, and I sort of agree with him in a way. We've got Giroud. We've got.
I didn't ask what you've got.
All right, I'd centre back.
Hang on, were you going to say Son?
Sonogo.
You're going to list him as a striker.
Well, he's
a fucking joker.
What about Joel Campbell? So, is he a striker or an attacking midfielder? Because he's on your books.
I don't know what's going to because his contract runs out next year. So, it's very strange what's going to happen with him.
And he's
centre back, definitely.
Centre-back.
100%.
And a holder.
And potentially a goalkeeper because we've only got really. Got,
you,
know,
you just signed that Fabian. Colombian, didn't you?
Well,
is that definitely gone through?
Well, apparently you've agreed terms.
I've not heard
not
any. Look, until I see it on the Arsenal website, which I haven't, I won't believe any of the shit.
So you want, so
a goalkeeper as well, but centre-back, definitely.
Centre-back for you.
Yeah.
Tom, Celtic?
The one thing I always worry about is a proper midfielder. Not a defensive midfielder, not an attacking midfielder.
Box to box.
Everything, you know. I don't like
Don't ask for a lot, do you?
But No, there doesn't seem to be many around anymore. An actual midfielder that scores goals, defends.
Like a young
Joe Ledley was the closest you had for a long time.
I was gutted when we sold him at Palace. I thought he was a great midfielder. But yeah, Lampard, Roy Keane, someone that does the whole midfield job.
Wanyama was quite box to box for you, wasn't he?
No, really. He was
pretty much for Lampard, wasn't he?
He's
six
back.
Yeah.
James?
Other than that, good knowledge. Well, at Gillingham, we used to have a club mascot, which was Tommy Trueblue.
That's the one position you need for him.
I didn't see him for about the last 6 months of last season, and I'm a little bit worried about
it. You didn't actually make it into the ground for most of the game, so did you?
Probably they only see him before the game, actually. That's probably why I haven't seen him. I always remember, like, back in like 98, 99, when like club mascots first became a thing, which they were ridiculous back then, same as they are now. I'd like to get all of them in a row and just shoot them, to be honest. But he got brought in by the Kent Air Ambulance onto the halfway line, which I thought was quite nice.
What, he's airlifted in?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And everyone was like, what the fuck? It must be a really serious incident. And then, like, an 8-foot horse got out of the air ambulance and just started toddling towards everyone. And, yeah, I haven't seen him in a while. So,
a new mascot for the
maybe game. A new mascot, yeah.
Spurs?
I want another striker. I want a striker. I want someone that's going to...
Interesting article with what's his name, the Roma lad that was shite last season.
Lamella. Actually,
he could be your.
I think he's almost like a new signing.
But he's a winger, isn't he?
With Pochettino,
he could play.
If he plays the same formation at Southampton, either the left or the right flank could be absolutely made for him. Absolutely made for
could.
Him.
Pochettino could actually hold the keys to him as well to actually get him to play.
What's Chris just done?
Know,
he's getting me a pint.
Oh, he's just like, he looked really scared as he left. Did you give him the eyes, Tom?
Right, this,
I think he disagreed with Dan's statement about a striker.
This
the Italian baskets look lovely today, don't they?
I'll leave it.
but they actually don't,
they look nice. You missed an absolute stunner that walked past us now.
Okay, what, so I
tweeted this a couple of days ago because I don't know if anyone read the Dave Kidd article in the Mirror a couple of years ago about the a couple of days ago about the England captaincy for both cricket and football.
Yeah,
I read
the same person to be captain for both.
I think they fucking might as well.
Mate, Boris Johnson, the football captain and the cricket captain.
So this,
he sounds like a cricket player, but we've all seen him play football. That tackle,
he's fucking brilliant.
That tackle,
fucking brilliant. But anyway, so. Dave Kidd's article was about the problem. Obviously, we need a new England captain for football, definitely, and it looks like we're going to need a new England captain for cricket because old Cook's not doing too well.
We need a new quote team for both.
But all right. So this is a quote from Dave Kidd from that
Who's
article.
Who's Dave Kidd?
He writes one of our top writers. Anyway, he said our international footballers.
He's famous.
He's a famous journo.
Is he related to Brian?
Don't think so. Our international footballers and cricketers have grown up in a stifling paranoid culture where they are wet nursed by vast support staffs, forbidden from making anything but bland public statements where conformity is everything and mavericks are shunned. Right? Now, I couldn't fucking agree more. I've said on the show before how I'd fucking love it, right, if you get an opinion out of one of these football players. Like, if someone scored a hat-trick in a game and they go, congratulations, you know, on the hat-trick, your team won 4-0, what do you think? Oh, it's all about the team win today. I'm just really glad for that we got the 3 points. It'd be fucking brilliant if one of them turned around and just went, yeah, I was on fucking fire today. I was the bollocks today. Yeah, I don't know. I just felt great. Yeah.
Ibrahimovic does that.
I loved it. I stuck
it to him. Right. Last night I was watching Joe Allen. They're interviewing on Sky Sports News about the new signings for Liverpool, and him going, you know, do you think you're a bit worried about your position now? They've got these big players coming in. You know that he's sitting there going, to be honest, I'm shitting myself. He went, I'm not sure I'm going to get a game this season. But he's like, no, it's really good for the squad, for, you know, everyone, its competition is really good,
bollocks,
blah, blah, blah.
But the problem with that is they now get bollocks. Fined when they tweet or say
right, so this is entirely it. So my question was, like, who do you think the next England captain should be? But I completely agree with Dave Kidd, is that the culture now around
who?
Football is,
<Who's Dave Kidd?
laughs> around, is the fact that we don't like people that have got a bit of a personality, a bit of these slight mavericks that bring that little bit of extra and a bit of charisma to the game. And it upsets me and frustrates me. I just think that you know, who do we think should be the next England captain? I can't fuck it. There's no one that apart from
for starters, any kind of captain in football, you've got to immediately discount centre forwards and goalkeepers. It's just pointless having them as captains because they're involved in too little of the game.
Do you not just a goalkeeper can see it all happening though, can't they? Do you not just think this is all too much of a blown up conversation?
They can't speak enough to the players during the game.
Does it matter who your fucking captain is in football?
That's the other point.
You've got enough players who are leaders in their clubs to just make sure that it's all going the right way.
It's too much of a conversation, I reckon. You look at the Brazil game.
Too much of a conversation.
I fucking hate the podcast. That's the problem with the podcast. Too much fucking conversation.
What is Derek Kidd? Who did he want to be?
Dave.
Elboy Kidd. What do you want, mate?
Who does he want to be the England captain?
There's no standout case. He said it'll probably be Rooney because who else is there going to be?
For the time being.
What I'm getting at is that in rugby, you need someone to make decisions throughout the game. In cricket, you need someone to change the fielding set, you know, where your fielders are and the rest of it. But in football, you don't need any of that. You just need someone to go, keep your head, calm down.
Chin up, lads, chin up.
It's bollocks. I think it's well overrated the role of captain.
I've read a lot of that secret footballer, and possibly the most laughable statement that he makes is that he reckons the Premiership is a high level chess game, which I think is bollocks. You know? No, I'm telling you, when you watch, and I'm sure you watch plenty of Premiership stuff, and you claim to have a high-level chess game, and you see some of the mistakes and fucking headless chicken shit they do. If they're supposed to have known exactly what to do in every situation that crops up almost on the pitch.
He's talking about set pieces than that when he's talking about that, though, isn't he? He's talking about the research before it.
Pieces go completely awry that are nowhere near. And I know, fair enough, if you're looking for the near post, it's only a matter of a couple of inches it being a good or a shit cross.
What's that got to do with being a captain?
The in-depth knowledge of it, rather than, you know, cricket, you've got a lot of happenings for the captain along with rugby. Supposedly, if there's that much detail in the game these days, then the captain should be the manager's voice on the pitch and should be able to tell people where they're going wrong.
They're not paid to make decisions like that, are they? Yeah. So they've got to be a mouthpiece. So the manager's got to make this. And also, it's reactive, isn't it? So if you go 1-0 down, then that week of planning is all straight out the fucking window.
Not again. If it's a high-level chess game, 1-0 down should be easily part of what they know what they should be doing.
Under attack.
What the fuck is going on? Why are there so many army? It's like being in Baghdad. Why are there so many army helicopters?
So it turns out, and this was a decent thing to chat about.
No, I'm not saying it's not a decent thing to chat about, but I'm saying
you're saying the importance.
There's
level
too much there. Importance placed on who the fucking captain is of the England football team, and actually, I don't think it matters at all.
Who's the importance placed on? It's only the media that put the importance.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't think anyone actually cares that much, unless it was a ridiculous captain. No, unless they made
obviously it's one of the best
James Milner captain,
in your
then
career.
Peter would kick off. Although Milner would probably be my captain. I'd have him in England team all the time.
Look, it's a fantastic accolade in anyone's career to captain your country, but there's less of an importance in the role. Nah. There's less importance in the role than there is in other games.
Cockney Andy.
Right, thanks, lads. I think that cleared that up. Then, so
in terms of who I'd actually pick, I think KL's our best defender, and I think he will be for the next four or five years.
Let him be a defender. Yeah, don't.
You've just said the captain thing means nothing. It means nothing.
The media blow it all up, and it starts
becoming problems.
So you're saying don't have a captain?
Have a captain.
Who's going to do the toin cost at the beginning?
The toin cost?
Toin toss? Look
at the youngest player on the pitch. Yeah.
Make his day, wouldn't it? I know what you're saying, though.
The Italians, they just give it to the eldest player in the team. So I say we do that then. Let the oldest player in the squad, most experienced player in the squad, be the captain.
What if he's really shy?
Yeah, bring him out a little.
I think they should modernise the toin cost anyway, and they should have a game of FIFA.
You said toin cost as well.
You said toin cost as
well. It's
a toin cost.
What about a thumb war? Have a thumb war instead.
Yeah, something like that. Game of FIFA or like something.
Game of FIFA.
Did you see the guy that did
Quick Game of Family Fortunes?
Play Knuckles.
Fingers first. Like
game
we
Knuckles.
Asked. Yeah anything.
See the film producer
the toy cost
who made
is rubbish, isn't it?
Who made a short film of an actual live game, but as a FIFA game. Fucking brilliant.
Oh really?
Right. So we've all decided no one gives a fuck who the next England captain should be.
Don't
stuff.
Give a monkey.
Right. Intern, what are you most looking forward to about the new season?
Intern? Who's the intern?
He's just turned up.
That's what you said, though, isn't it? Intern.
Intern.
Going around the table.
Oh, okay. I thought you said an intern.
I think you touch El Clasico. I think it'd be a great fit.
That's the thing you're most looking forward to about next season.
Yeah.
No, all right. Yeah. That's fair enough.
Maybe. I think that'd be a really good game. Well, we've spoken about the attacking front three at both.
Games.
Yeah. I think that'd be good.
Yeah. And? Most thing looking forward to about this season?
Fulham away.
Yeah.
Can't
have
wait.
Have you seen
the fucking can't wait, done. Mate.
You need to know any pubs to go to, aren't you?
Sorry? Most thing looking forward to?
Ronnie's the new manager, so.
Hopefully that he'll get naked at some point.
Well, no, that's a guarantee.
Yeah, you're right. Just, how many times? Do you reckon there's a bet on how many times he'll take his shirt off this season?
Just the type of football he'll play. It looks like he's given it a crack, but it's only the first game of Reykjavik, isn't it?
He's done all right.
Ronnie and Celtic.
Ronnie Delilah.
If you talk about Celtic, could be playing in, is it Belfast they could be playing? Is that right?
Dublin. St Pat's are a Dublin side.
Dublin?
Yeah.
Fucking imagine that. It'd be absolutely epic,
wouldn't it?
It
would just be a party.
And they got a decent...
They drew 1-0. With Legia Warsaw.
Well, actually...
Is it tonight?
It's
home at St Pat's tonight.
I'd love it if they won that. That'd be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, they got the away goal.
They'd have to do it in the Croke Park.
Croke Park, yeah.
Because they'd be able to fill that out about four times, wouldn't they?
Celtic pre-season was packed.
Yeah.
Over in Dublin.
Well, they'd have enough people in Dublin to fill it three or four times. Plus, you'd have a load of Scots that would want to come over as well. It'd be absolutely manic. Great to see. Yeah, it would be balmy. Talking about Fulham away as well, I was talking to a Millwall fan yesterday. He's just got his tickets for the first two away games of the season. First away game of the season is Leeds, which at the moment is still a 3 p.m. kickoff. It will change because I think Sky won it, so it'll be the earlier kickoff.
I think the Met will probably change it.
It's in Leeds, that's why I said away game.
Nah, the police will change it.
I got Leeds away, and then their other game is Fulham away as well. So you know that whole of that neutral end will be Fulham Millwall as well. So
yeah.
He was a bit worried.
That's
He's
the
like,
fucking problem with Fulham, off. Isn't it? Is that you can't control who goes in that fucking neutral end.
Nah. Yeah. Well, he was like, I might kick off, and I was like, it won't. Fulham haven't. But it depends where Chelsea are playing, where West Ham are playing, because a few of their boys could just think, right, I'll have
it. Yeah, let's do it.
I'll play a bit of Championship, 15 quid and have a tear up. So that could work. The thing I'm most looking forward to is my team. I think in football, the thing that fans most like watching is the thing that most excites me is a pacey winger, someone like the old Ginola days. My team, Jills, have actually signed. We've had no pace in our squad for ages. We've signed a couple of players, wingers, without an out pace.
Great pictures recently of him.
Yeah, he's doing a bit, isn't he? He's got bigger since
he has got bigger.
Has he really?
Yeah, they had a friendly against Chelsea, and they were 2-0 up with about 20 minutes left. They lost 3-2, but Akinfenwa came off after 69 at 2-0, and then Chelsea scored three times.
Did he score?
Pacey wingers, so we've signed a couple of, like, we've got genuine pace on the left and the right, so I'm quite looking forward to a season of my team actually having a threat from
having
pace.
A run.
Because I still don't think there's anything better than a fan, even if you're like, even if it's a rubbish game, if you've got a winger and you know he's got pace and you know he's got the beat in his fullback, and a player that just gets
just,
on the ball.
Just to take him on.
I love a player that gets on the ball, looks on things, right, where's my marker? I'm going to fucking run at the bastard.
Even if he only beats one and then loses it, just beating that one man gets the whole crowd going.
The reason they're playing, like, I'm a League One fan, the reason, even if they've got really good pace and they've got tricks, the reason they're in League One is because they aren't consistent enough. Unless they're young, and one of them is only 21. We got him from Brighton, and he scored 3 goals in 4 pre-season games as a winger.
Decent.
And the other one is a lower league. He's been in League Two for years and years and years. He's really good. He goes past his man, but he's inconsistent. Like, 4 times out of 5, he'll shank the ball. 1 out of 5, he'll put a pearl of a cross in. So,
talking about that, did you watch that McGregor then? He's back at Celtic for Notts County last year.
He scored loads of goals, didn't he? I'm surprised they didn't recall him.
He scored the goal in the first leg against Reykjavik last week, and he looks alright.
Yeah, he kept him up. Absolutely kept him up because the QPR, what's his name? Midfielder QPR.
Joey Barton?
No, he's manager at Notts County now.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Derry.
Yeah.
Sean Derry put him in, and he scored against Gilles, scored the winner against Gilles. Fantastic player. Some good goals he scored at Notts County as well, not just goals.
Yeah, we've got him and James Forrest on the wing, so hopefully that's good for Celtic.
All positive. My favourite quote of the week so far is Jurgen Klopp. What am I looking forward to?
You didn't tell us what you're looking forward to.
We've
missed that.
I'm about to not answer most questions.
Especially the next article from Derek Kidd.
Right, leave Derek alone.
You know who he is. Don't be such a moron.
Don't know who he is.
I, do you know, I'm not sure yet.
Spurs finishing fifth?
I'm not sure yet. Thanks, mate.
Gareth Bale becoming even better at Madrid?
I'll be happy about that. I'm apprehensive about this season. But I'm just looking forward to it all getting kicking off. But yeah, my favourite quote of the week so far was from Jurgen Klopp on Matt Hummels going to Man United. He's a direct quote: "If it's not a bullshit story, I'll eat a broomstick." Fucking love Jurgen Klopp.
I do like him, but unfortunately, when he loses someone like Goetze, who's been in the club since he was 11,
yeah.
Whatever he says is going to be, the board are going to override him and sell him anyway.
Yeah, but it's only, I heard it's only about 15 mil that Hummels is going to go for.
As well,
has he?
Who's also been at.
What happened to all the rest of the. Hazards. What happened to all the? There's like four of them, isn't there?
Thornton Hazards on Chelsea's books, but he's on loan. Yeah, yeah.
No, Jurgen Klopp's got a brother who's does a load of horse racing. His name's Clip.
I knew I was waiting for that.
Clip Klopp.
Thanks,
yeah.
Thanks,
Chris.
Thanks, mate.
That's my joke. My favourite joke of the week.
I actually just made it up as well. Not read that. Not on Twitter. not a professional gag.
Very witty.
Has anyone seen Mario Balotelli's Instagram feed over the last couple of days?
Is this the video of himself?
Yeah.
Ironing and reading someone's autobiography at the same time.
So, I mean,
it's actually him.
If anyone, oh yeah, I'm gonna.
He's insane.
I mean, if what basically stop what you're doing, pause the podcast.
What's happening on Arsenal thing? Is he going to Arsenal?
Wenger's come out and said he's not having him. Which I
don't want a striker.
Probably for the best for Arsenal. If I was an Arsenal fan, I wouldn't want him. As a neutral, I'd love him back in the Premier League.
Yeah.
As an Arsenal fan, I probably wouldn't. I think he'd disrupt that team more.
But the only thing is, I'm going to say, if he was to sign, I think Wenger could potentially mould him into being a bit more.
I don't think he can mould himself. So
I mean, it's if anyone's.
I worry
not
for his safety. If he's holding an iron, fuck me, you wouldn't want to be in the room, would you?
This is it. This is Mario Balotelli ironing, topless, listening to a shanty whilst reading Zlatan's book and then giving it some fucking ridiculous dance routine.
This is the same fella that couldn't put a bib on.
Yeah. I mean,
that is going to go wrong.
I've now started
just
following.
Just an outtake from who you've been framed.
No, that is a day in a moment in the life of Mario Balotelli. Like, I'm upset. He's not going to be in the Premiership again next season.
Well, you never know. There's still a lot of business to be done, isn't there?
Old Wellington Phoenix beat West Ham last night 2-1 in a pre-season friendly. So
that bodes well for Big Sam this season, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, they've signed Zarate, haven't they?
Yeah,
which is a decent signing.
And another Argentinian. There's two Argentinian strikers there, aren't there?
Don't tell me he's another dodgy.
I don't know who he is.
The next players that refuse to come back.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah.
Brilliant lads.
Actually, on signings, and we've talked about decent signings. Do you think this trio is good or bad for Villa? So it's Senderos.
I thought you were pointing at them three then.
For Villa, you'd be good, actually. No, so Senderos, Richardson and Joe Cole. So all on a Bosman, so all three. They've come out and said they haven't got any money. Is that good business?
Senderos ain't bad. Joe Cole. They've said about Joe Cole playing
in the hole.
Cole in the hole.
Now they've got Roy Keane as assistant. They'll be going
to be a fucking doddle.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, so they blooded a lot of young players last season,
and
didn't
now
they?
Trying to get a bit of experience.
So they've had a year in the Premiership, you know, a young team, and you're bringing in a bit of experience. I think all probably quite good Premiership
players.
That's
Villa's problem, though, isn't it? If he can bang in the goals, then they're going to be all right.
And then they'll sell him in December, in January, won't
they? Lose Ron Vlaar, and he was their rock as well, wasn't he?
Well, they signed Richardson as a fullback.
He's on their books.
Yeah.
So Richardson's there.
He played left back at Sunderland, didn't he? And that's probably where he's
played left back.
Best season.
Kit of the year so far goes to Segunda B side Cultural Leonisa, who were only planning to do it for pre season, but everyone's loved it so much that they're actually keeping it for the rest of the year.
You'd sell a lot of them,
wouldn't
you?
Tuxedo kit.
Well done to Hummel.
It's got lapels, buttons, and a bow tie.
Yeah, it's one of the best football
kits. I've got a counter to that, though, Dan. There's another Spanish second division team, CD Lugo. I've got a pint of beer. Inspired.
Oh, look at that!
And I've also got an octopi tentacle, as that is the sort of food that they have over there.
They eat octopi.
Octopi, they do. Talking of kits, though, there's a grandma has purchased a Man United kit. And,
that's big news!
It's big news!
Close the show now. Close the fucking show.
I decided to leave this off, Chris.
You've just ruined Derek Kidd's next article as well, you bastard.
Del boy. But yeah, she's got it with Rooney, but she left out the E, unfortunately, so it's still says
which
Rooney.
She sent to her grandson in Australia, who opened it up and said, thanks, Gran, but you spelt it wrong. Yeah. And she was devastated, but then they gave her a new shirt, so it's all right.
What's the point?
There's no fucking point. That's why I left it off.
Gave her a new shirt?
Sorry, that was my book. I printed it out. And everything.
Fucking useless. Right, I think that's about it. We've managed to talk for about 40 minutes of
without
actually talking about anything or any technical difficulties.
That was a fucking ball date last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, that's what happens when we're not here. I haven't got any fucking sheets. We are at Football Pubcast. www.footballpubcast/Tumblr or something, I don't know. If you don't fucking know,
can we have
what
a show photo this week? And can we have it of the hanging baskets?
The hanging baskets.
Maybe Tom looking. Maybe Tom looking like a bouncer underneath the hanging baskets.
It should be the count from Sesame Street.
I think it should be the count. You missed probably one of the best show facts ever, to be honest, mate.
Anyway, we don't have to recap.
We're not going to recap.
Murderously.
Well, can't you put Tom underneath one hanging basket and then Photoshop the count underneath?
You think we're good enough to fucking Photoshop?
I'm terrible at photoshopping, but it'll be funny. But Chris is not bad at photoshopping.
All right, we'll see how it goes.
Yep, Tom pretending to be a bouncer. You do not look like Peter Kay's character in Phoenix Nights today.
And on that note, thank you for listening.
Maxwell Bygraves. See you later.